We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Happy opening day to those who celebrate. We had a lot to react to, a lot of injuries, a lot of stolen bases, some aces getting blown up, and one ace that was really good. I've got Glenn Colton joining me right now on the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast, brought to you by the good folks from Vivid Seats. I am Jeff Erickson, here with my good friend Glenn Colton from Colton and the Wolfman on SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio and Fantasy Alarm. Glenn, thank you so much for joining us. Happy opening day.
Yes, a national holiday it should be. And
but it is not for you. I know, unfortunately. You've got a real job.
I have a day job, but I have the Wolfman who is just texting throughout the day. All rise. It's Glaber Day and other fun notations of the day for Yankee fans, including me, but not him, strangely. But we have a lot of Aaron Judge in fantasy, so he's pretty psyched.
Did you get him in tout?
Did not get him in tout, but we have him in the FSGA League. We have him in the main event that you and I did together, and yeah. I have him in my home league. So I've got I got a good number of shares.
You had that sweet, sweet third overall pick in our main event. I was down, you know, eating glue in the corner over there at 14. So although I'm actually kind of happy with that team. We'll see how it works out. But I like that we were far apart from each other.
Yes, though you did snipe us once. We had okay. We said, all right, we're – but it was on Yoan Moncada, so I can't get too angry with you.
That was pretty late, yeah.
It was.
Yeah. You know what? It's funny. I was getting sniped a little bit in the end game by John Posma. Actually, early game, too. Shane McClanahan went 313. That's the max pick in the main event. At least it was on Monday night when we drafted. He also got Tommy Edman at 713. I think that might have been his max. And when you're looking for stolen bases, that was frustrating. And then, like, four outfielders. We both were late on outfielders. Like, Jose Siri, who homered today. James Outman, who's starting in center field for the Dodgers tonight. You know, I couldn't even get Austin Meadows. It was really frustrating. He got me like four times in a row, always in these odd number of rounds. He only won the main event overall before, so he might be a good player. I don't know.
He might be a pretty good player, but I will tell you this. The predictability, and we'll talk about that draft, that was an unpredictable draft. I was surprised a number of times.
Yeah, me too.
What was there, good and bad, when was our turn to pick?
Yeah, I agreed, and it was different than my other two main events. So we will talk about that in full. But let's jump right off with it. Someone forgot to turn off the injury switch on our video game here, Glenn. Brutal day. I mean, just all the last week and a half we've seen stuff. But today alone, first of all, Justin Verlander with a surprise injury right there.
Yeah.
Nobody likes the surprise injury. He has got a minor Terry's major strain, is what they're calling it, or a low-level one. Similar to Tristan McKenzie and at least the type of muscle that was hurt. I'm not willing to call it a low level one or a minor one until I see him actually come back, but I'm frustrated with this one here. I was frustrated with McKenzie, who I have in tout wars. You hate to see it.
Oh, 100%. And there were three kinds of injuries that all the news broke today. There are the freak injuries on the field, the kinds of ones that you expect, but too many of them. And then the guys who actually didn't play and announced they were hurt. And it's not only Verlander. What about Daniel Bard, who I know was terrible in WBC and whatever, but he's a closer who's now not a closer. And that's a big deal in fantasy.
Huge. And with Daniel Bard, it's anxiety too. So that doesn't bode well for closing. I mean, he's battled this before too. That's mm-hmm. the sad part. He did conquer it, but you know, at least he is, you know, I'll give him credit for like coming forward with this, you know, trying to
100%.
So get help. Try to internalize that.
Yeah. 100%. Get help. Get yourself better. Baseball is a job and a game, but get your life right.
Yeah. And your partner, Rick Wolf, he is big on mental health.
Yeah. Huge contributor to the good. Unbelievable. Yes.
So, you know, always, you know, want to try to speak in kind tones about that, but it is a closer off the board before we even started. If you're trying to speculate this weekend, who is your closer du jour for the Rockies?
Dinelson Lamet. I mean, to me, we've been saying in the fantasy business that he should have been a short reliever for years.
Yep.
Two pitches, nasty slider, throws hard. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm doing this off the top of my head, but I think the strikeout rate was 34% last year. I mean, something really strong, and snagged him in the 29th round of our main the other night. So also rooting for him.
you're not even bidding. You've got him.
Exactly.
I'm kind of speculating a little bit on closer. No, actually that league I'm fine with closer. I think I'm fine. We'll see. That's a huge development. Verlander though, that's a big one. I mean, that's your ace. That's one of the top 5 to 7 pitchers drafted. You're like, okay, I'm not going to take a chance on Jacob DeGrom because he's too injury prone. I'll take Justin Verlander instead.
Yeah, I mean, knock on wood. Like, and the thing is, if Justin Verlander played for a middling team, I think he'd come back faster than pitching for the Mets. I know he's going to want to come back. He's that kind of bulldog competitor. But if you're the Mets and you have dreams of you know, hoisting the trophy at the end of October, you are not rushing him back.
No. No, you're not. And they still won today, despite Max Scherzer giving up a lead. David Robertson got the save. Noteworthy there that we saw him right away get that save off the top after a report just yesterday that he wasn't guaranteed to be the closer. I thought that was kind of funny. We had that fake news and gets the save anyhow. And he was 1-2-3. Boom, boom, boom. Did have one long foul ball against Garrett Cooper, but got him out nonetheless. Pretty encouraging if you have David Robertson. You spent big money and fab on him.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And look, Adam Ottavino was a Yankee. I got to watch him every day. And he's just not a closer because every once a game, he throws a cement mixer slider that gets hit, you know, to Yellowstone. And
right.
To me, he's in his proper use in the, you know, 6th to 8th inning. And were they going to use Juice Smith? Is that who was going to take the job? To me, David Robertson was the guy who was going to get the first chance and get some rope.
And we saw bids around the 300s in Fab Leagues where we drafted early. We saw like in mixed labor where we drafted in February, he went for big bucks. So people are very happy with that right about now.
People expected a trade too. If you remember during the Tout Wars AL auction, Joe Sheehan rostered Diego Castillo for $1 and somebody said, future Mets closer.
Yep, might have been me. I don't know. But you know what? And Joe got him for $1, and he's just a good pitcher in an AL only league like Tout. That's still can be worth it. Ask Doug Dennis, who got Ron Marinaccio in his 2 good innings today. So, you know, his strategy is already coming together there. Max Fried left with an injury today, trying to cover first base on a ground ball. He's going on the IL with a hamstring injury. That's a tough one. Had a lead 3-1, 4-1, something like that at the time. And again, he is either your ace or your number two if you went 2 early starters.
Yeah, we have him as our ace in the Labor NL auction that we did.
Yep.
And I was telling you off air, the only silver lining is we had drafted an inexpensive Ian Anderson, who I think should get Max Fried's spot. And maybe he comes back and shows some of that. But if you drafted Fried, you're just going to have a hole for a little while. But here's the thing. It's going to even out, right? Because there are all of these other injured pitchers and the pitchers who you drafted to be your aces today, and we haven't talked about this yet, who didn't pitch like aces.
No.
Guys that you thought were rock solid. Jacob DeGrom. Nobody thought there was an issue if he was on the mound. The only issue was whether he took the mound. He was not solid today. Aaron Nola was not good today. And there are others that I'm forgetting, but, you know, Hunter Green was okay today. I mean, some of the big names, other than the ones that wore pinstripes and, you know, pitched for San Francisco, were not necessarily rock solid.
Right. The St. Louis, Toronto game, both starters hit pretty hard there. And, you know, certainly our expectations for Miles Michaelis were pretty muted, but in the main event league that you and I are together, I have both Manoah and Michaelis. Not a good day, Bob. Not a good day. But I do have Jordan Romano, so I got.
So there you go. That's helpful. And then I saw the injury to Wilson Contreras, and I am very worried.
Yeah, that. So that was a ball right off the kneecap, right?
A pitch off the kneecap. Yeah, he totally got screwed up on the singles.
Crossed up on that, right?
Yep.
And Jordan Hicks, rumor has it, throws a little hard too. So, yikes! He had to get helped off. Andrew Kisner replaced him in the game. That's a bad one.
Yeah, not good. You're sort of hoping for Trace Barrera to come back, which is not exactly where you want to be.
Yeah, and in the case of, and again, when you draft Wilson Contreras or any other top level catcher, I mean you're spending a high level pick on him, top 10 pick on him in a 15 team league, even higher in a only obviously. The replacement value is just nil. That's the thing that's really tough.
Oh, no doubt about it. And, you know, you just hope that it's just a bruise and he comes back in a couple of days or whatever.
Right.
But he went down the dugout steps and needed a lot of help.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. They have the day off tomorrow, the Cardinals and the Blue Jays. So we'll see. And it was anger from a Cardinals fan about Kisner because he couldn't put the bunt down today. I kind of say don't bunt, but yeah, that's just me.
Thank you,
Jason. In a 10-9 game, why are you bunting? But
because you can't hit.
Yeah, I guess so you can't hit either. But that's a difficult one there for sure. That was definitely a very ugly injury there. The other one is a smaller grade injury, but you know it's impactful, and that's Ryan Pepiot for the Dodgers going on the IL with an oblique strain. Michael Grove, I think, is going to get some starts here for the Dodgers. They're already down. I mean, their renowned depth has been watered down quite a bit.
Yeah, but when are you going to see Gavin Stone? Is that going to mean you see him faster? I mean,
Miller, for that matter.
Yeah, but if one of those guys comes up, you're talking about serious fab bidding.
Yep, really quickly. But that's the funny thing is the Dodgers have this loaded farm system. But they've also always had this depth. They've always had like eight starters. They're down already to like four or five, you know, and we'll see what happens with Grove. I think I took Grove and TGFBI. I don't know if I held on to him there. Excuse me, Yogurt. We got to call it by its proper name. But, you know, because of TGBY. You know, I always call it the Yogurt League because of that. Nonetheless, you know, it's just, you know, whether it's in the middle infield when they lost Gavin Lux, you know, in the outfield, they've had some injuries. They've got a lot of injuries right now. And a lot of their depth walked away in free agency this offseason, too.
It's true. And the rumor I'm hearing is they're just clearing out the room to try to lay out the $500 million carpet for Shohei Ohtani.
I've heard the very same. And, you know, and not get dinged on the luxury cap as much. And they'll still probably win 90-plus games. I actually like a little the under 96.5 this year. I would like it, except I don't bet win totals that much. I would like it in theory when talking about it. I like to talk about it at least.
I got a whole dollar I'm going to put down on that. No,
yeah,
exactly. I don't tend to bet those things either, largely because if I want to wait 6 months for a result, I'll play fantasy.
Exactly. That's precisely how I'm at. I don't want to have, you know, give them the time value of money with my money. I'd rather, yeah. Even though if you see an edge, you can bet it, but still, even it. But like, yeah, I'm going to pay the vig too. Forget about it.
Nope. I mean, you know, if you're a big fan, like you're a Reds fan, if you want to put like $5 on the Reds to win the World Series or to win the division just to sort of get a kick when that happens, I get it. But, you know, to bet the Dodgers on how many games they win, and you have to then remember 6 months from now that you did that. Oh, they're at 95 and it's the last game of the year.
What did I do with that ticket? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly right. Our podcasts are brought to you on the Blue Wire Network. We appreciate them for hosting us as always. As a result, here are their ads.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/BlueWire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right. Thank you for your indulgence there and your patience. My guest is Glenn Colton from Colton and the Wolfman and Fantasy Alarm. Let's talk about some of the other results that actually happened on the field aside from injuries. Start off with your Yankees.
Oh, yeah.
Gerrit Cole looked every bit like the ace. If you did Cole versus Burns, you went Cole. You're feeling pretty good about yourself right about
there's that. There's another ace who didn't pitch like an ace in Cole right. Burns that we were talking about. Look, Gerrit Cole, I didn't actually see the game, and I'll watch it, you know, on quick replay sometime later tonight, but he had like struck out everyone he faced for the first like almost four innings. It was right. Incredible. And the only thing you were worried about is whether they're going to get a big enough lead because you knew he wasn't going to be into the eighth or the ninth inning. But, you know, I think this is going to be a huge year for Gerrit Cole. I think they improved the defense on the team further. And I think they're going to know how to manage him. I don't think you're going to see him pitching, you know, seven and eight innings as often as he did. And I think he's just going to stay strong through the year. And if you invested in Gerrit Cole, or if you have your draft over the next few days, which some people still do, I would have no hesitation.
Yeah. In the NFBC, he was the first starter drafted on average.
Yes.
I did the Vegas main and I did draft him with the ninth overall pick. So, as the first pitcher drafted, if you don't count Otani, because most people are going to use Otani as a hitter. You get to choose every week. This week, I might use Otani as a pitcher, but
we have him in labor AL, and we are using him as a pitcher in this. They have three games against, and he's pitching against the A's.
So it's interesting to me. Why is there an off day when you're in Oakland? I mean, I get it when you're in the north, but are you really that worried about a rainout? I mean, I shouldn't say that because we've had a ton of rain this winter in California. Northern California has really been hit. The Bay Area has really been hit pretty hard by a lot of rain. So maybe that's why.
Maybe, but you know, if you talk about the absolute best situation for a pitcher against the A's in that spacious ballpark, I mean,
yep.
You know, of course, our luck, he'll hit three home runs today.
Right. You know? Well, the thing is, I mean, the A's rotation, you look at it there, it's pretty cheesy. I mean, Mueller, Fujinami, and Waldichuk, but it is two lefties. So even more makes sense for you to use him as a pitcher this week. I think this is the one week in the FBC you use him as a pitcher. I think more often than not in the NFBC in particular, you use him as a hitter.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're going to end up using him as a hitter you know, in the 30, whatever it is, 26, 27 weeks, whatever it is, all but two or three times.
Yeah. How much did you pay for him in labor?
36.
Okay, that's reasonable.
And, you know, the thing is in labor, which is very complicated, it's complicated to use him. But when you're drafting in an AL only and you get a guy who's UT or pitcher, it gives you tremendous flexibility in the end game. I can take advantage of a pitcher or hitter value at the end of the game. And so that gives real value. And, you know, I thought he was worth 36 if he never pitches.
I agree.
You know, so
especially Steve if Gardner, he runs, which I think he will.
I think he's going to do everything. He's playing for $500 million.
Yeah.
You saw what Aaron Judge did.
Please stay healthy.
Just for the game, for the man. Like, come on.
Exactly. Other reactions from that Yankee game. Judge homers in the first at bat.
Nice
to see him get right back off. It was Glaber Day. We a homer and a stolen base. You love the combo meal there.
Yeah, I was just going to say our friends Tristan and Eric called that the combo meal.
Yes.
So here's the thing about Glaber Torres. I don't get any of the dislike in the fantasy or real baseball community. I don't understand it. It's a kid who's 26. He seems like he should be 32, but he's 26 with 2,400 plate appearances already in the major leagues. They're not getting rid of him. It's ridiculous. Look, if you could package a deal for Shohei Ohtani, fine, whatever. But, you know, they're not just going to cast him aside because he hasn't been the greatest player ever yet. He's still only 26 years old. And you've got an aging, you know, underperforming Josh Donaldson in his way and a Anthony Rizzo with a bad back and a Giancarlo Stanton, who you know is going to miss time and they can move guys around. Glaber DH today. I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting. Who was that second?
DJ LeMayu.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, and see, the thing is, they have to make all those pieces fit. And I really do think it's a matter of like separating the wheat from the chaff so they can call up Peraza eventually. I drafted Peraza and lost in a couple of places.
He'll be up.
I think he will, but in the main event, I can't wait. In Tout, I can, I think. Mm-hmm. I have him in both places. But in the main event with you, I have Glaber.
There you go.
Let me have him at 10.2.
I have to look at the board and see what were we doing there at 10.2. You took him at the back end. So
Murphy is either 9.14 or 10.2. I got him and Sean Murphy, and I was going to take another pitcher. I needed pitching, but like the draft's giving me this. I have to take it.
Yeah. So we had taken, Bogarts in the last pick before you ended up, I think, with Torres. We took Bogarts and then we took Christian Walker, and first base looked much weaker than middle infield. Yeah. So we wanted to make sure we got Walker and Bogarts. I thought falling down to the end of the eighth round was just foolish value.
That's because of the wrist though. That's why he fell.
I'll take that chance. We have Correa too, so we'll be able to manage that.
A lot of good middle infielders early in the top 10 rounds though. I will say that, especially a lot of good shortstops, not as many second basemen that I like. I was thrilled to get Glaber there.
We also have a lot of Glaber. We have him in, I think, Tout Wars. I have him in my home league. Got plenty of Glaber.
Yeah, but you want him in your most important league, or most expensive league too. But
it is the most expensive league. But we came in third in our league last year, so it kind of feels like we didn't pay for it.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. You had a 6 months of free there, a free league.
That's all right.
That's all right. I finished third in both my mains last year, so I think it's like a tiny little profit, if I'm not mistaken, but it's tiny. That's the thing. All right. The Anthony Volpe, we have to talk about him for a little bit. Got a stolen base, a walk and a stolen base in his first plate appearance there. Easy stolen base for him.
Look, the kid can fly.
Yep.
And the big thing for him is going to be to stay within himself, right? You don't have to be Derek Jeter. Yes, you're very young. Yes, you're the starting shortstop on day one. Like, Jeter was just a different animal with the over-the-shoulder miracle catch in his first game ever. Right. You know, you don't need to carry this team. You don't need to hit 320. You don't need to steal 60 bags. You just need to be good. And if he can stay within himself, he'll be fine. And he obviously can absolutely run. And you know, the Yankees didn't do that much running over the last few years, and I think they're going to change that. I think you're going to see them run a lot more this year.
Yep, and I've got a comment. Well, let's go ahead and bring that up right now, and that is stolen bases. were everywhere today. I saw a note from Alex Fast like an hour and a half ago. Last year on opening day, there were 5 stolen bases across Major League Baseball. As of like an hour and a half ago, there's been 16 today. Welcome to the new reality.
Yeah, I think one of the things, and I have to watch some more of the games today and tonight, but I think the thing that we didn't talk about enough in the preseason, even though we talked about the rules ad nauseum, mm-hmm. was the pitch clock effect on stolen bases.
For sure.
Because you come set with 2 seconds, like
time to go.
Take off. That makes, that's it.
Yeah. Well, especially when the pitcher doesn't have a free throw left. You know,
well, that too, sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why it was, I think, so on the Volpe stolen base, he walks. And first of all, that's a really good sign, too. He's always had a good batting eye, but you like to see it. Webb does like a keep him honest throw. It's not even like Lamont Wade wasn't even standing on first base. A little lob over to first base is almost a catch your breath throw. That's wasting one of your real pickoff throws.
That's got to stop. I love the fact that that's going to be out of baseball, that foolish lollipop to first base.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
Yeah. We saw, runners going nuts all day. A couple guys got caught, but it was just, Baltimore was running like crazy on the Red Sox. Mm-hmm. Mateo should have had 3, but one of them was like, a pitch got fouled off. He had the base stolen. And then the guy lined out the next pitch into a double play, but he was running like crazy. I mean, you look all over a game and there was lots of stolen bases, and that's going to change what we need to win in that category too.
100%. 2 things. One thing about the Baltimore game, if you're like a better or a daily fantasy player and you see that they DH Gunnar Henderson to get Mateo and Urias and Frazier into the game, you got to know Mateo's going to be taken off. Like if I had seen that in advance, I totally would have done a prop bet on the
Urias got hurt today, by the way, the very
I
end
did
of the
see
game.
That.
No, wait, Urias? That's the wrong Urias, actually. No, it's the Brewers one that got hurt. I'm sorry. I get that mixed up all the time.
I have a lot of Luis Urias, a lot of shares, and I admit this, I kind of got happy. Wait a minute, it's the other guy, which I shouldn't be happy anybody got hurt, so I apologize.
that's one. But that's the thing, is like, it's, did we draft enough stolen bases? I don't know. I mean, yes, it lifts our stolen base guys, but you need more of them. It's like when we had Happy Fun Ball in 2019. It wasn't just that our guys got benefited, but we had to look, every spot had to provide power, or at least you had to account for that. At one point in time, we needed like 27 home runs per spot in the order to get 80th percentile in the category.
Yeah, I totally agree that teams that drafted guys who aren't going to run no matter what the rules are going to have a bigger problem. If you had guys throughout who are, 5, 10, 15, in addition to one or two guys who can run, those 5s are going to turn into 8 or 10, but the 0s are still going to be 0s.
Yeah. So what that means is when there becomes the next, Bubba Thompson that gets the call, you better be spending your fab on that. You better be going aggressively after that, especially in the NFBC and any other format there where you have an overall component. You can get away with punting it at tout because it's only your own league. But unless you're Doug Dennis, you don't really want to give away a category at the start of the season, unless that's part of your plan all along.
Yeah, I mean, like when Michael Garcia comes up in Kansas City, for example, look out. And if Bryce Tarang didn't go in some of the early mains, look out there too. And to me,
Eaton on Kansas City is another guy like that.
Got him in tout, got him cheap.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
I agree with that. I completely agree that those guys are going to be, higher value. But I think if I generally try to avoid drafting teams that are reliant on only one or two guys to run.
Yeah, same.
And so if you did that, you're probably going to be protected. But I do think it does increase the value of the guys like Estuary Ruiz and Miles Straw and guys who, you need them more this year, I think, than ever.
Yeah, you do. You absolutely do. You don't want to have, the thing is, it does raise the value of those steals only guys, but I hate drafting them too. So that means, you have to account for it. Otherwise, if you're willing to go draft Estuary Ruiz, I know he can actually hit the ball a little bit, but I'm a little skeptical still. But if you're not willing to take them, you better make sure that you spend some expensive capital on guys that do run. Let's move on to a different game here. We talked about aces not being aces. Let's talk about that Texas game. because Aaron Nola and Jacob deGrom both couldn't get out of the fourth inning.
Yeah, I mean, I looked at Nola and said this is the most sure thing starter. Now, look, it's one start. I'm not giving up. But you sort of, you did not see that coming. And with Jacob deGrom, you expect him to basically pitch to a one ERA whenever he's on the mound, and that's it. I'm writing it off for both guys unless I hear about some kind of injury. But it just goes to show nothing is certain.
Yeah, it really does. And it also shows that it's one start, too. Before we throw out the panic flags, a start in March, for crying out loud, you know, it's okay. You know, Aaron Nola is going to probably be okay. Unless there's my arm's hurting or I've lost 2 miles on my fastball. Okay, well, that might be a concern. But even then, fastball velocity in March and April sometimes isn't the same as it is when it heats up, too. So don't panic too much, but it is really frustrating. I bet you there is someone in the NFBC main event that has both Nola and DeGrom. Because if you think about it, end of the second, beginning of the third, you could see it happening there.
Oh, look, you absolutely could. And, you know, to me, I thought there was some interesting things offensively. You know, Bubba Thompson did not start the game.
I saw that too.
Very bizarre. I'm not sure how long that's going to hold. There's been a lot of talk about Robbie Grossman being, you know, taking his game to another level and playing against both lefties and righties, and boom, big game. And a lot of talk about Alec Bohm, you know, taking it to another level. And today he certainly did.
Yeah, it wasn't, you know, I wasn't so worried so much about Grossman. I thought he'd be able to, he would start regardless, but it was, the other guy that started for the Rangers. It was
Josh Smith or Ezekiel.
Josh Smith. And, you know, it was a righty on the mound. I really hope that's not a weak side platoon for Bubba Thompson. Thompson did come into the game and rob someone of a homer later on. So he was in the game late, but honestly, that's not what we paid for there. We want the stolen bases. We want those three to four plate appearances.
Yeah, you want him to hit into a force play and steal two bases. Come on.
Especially with Tavares on the IL. I mean, that's why you draft him right now. You try to, you know, steal 10 stolen bases, and then later on you kind of, you know, and then you can move on to the next guy. So that was frustrating indeed. That game, but DeGrom didn't look good either. The Phillies got to him pretty well. I mean, the Phillies low-key have had a really bad time. Not even low-key, big key. I mean, Hoskins gone for the season. That's devastating for them. I didn't get any Derek Hall, did you?
We were going to grab him and got sniped in the main that you and I were in. I grabbed him in my home league after the injury, but I'm not sure they lose that much. Hoskins, a good, very good player. You hate to see an injury. He wasn't great with the glove. I'm not sure Hall is going to be that different there. And Hall's a huge power hitter. Neither one of the guys hits for average. I don't think you're going to see that big a step down.
Well, that means also Sosa has to bat, or somebody else has to go in too, because Hall was probably going to be the DH with Hoskins at first, right? So
at the beginning, I think that's
until Harper comes back.
Right. But, you know, they have a lot of guys that are not Sosa. You know, Kingery was hitting in the spring and is a guy who had pedigree for a long time. I'm just doing this off the top of my head.
Right.
And, you know, I think you're going to see Marsh solidify an everyday role where they were talking about potential, you know, platoon there. And maybe you see Castellanos do some more DHing because, as you know, from those Reds days, not exactly a gold glover.
No, not so much. Not so much at all there. So, yeah, that's the question mark for them. But, that will be a something that they're going to have to deal with a lot there, trying to figure that out. And we'll see. I mean, I didn't get any Harper. I think came really close to getting Harper last night. I was going to take him at pick 215. He went at 211. I try not to stash in this contest, but I thought that was tantalizing.
You know, we did it with Altuve. Trying to remember, you know,
draft. Yeah.
Round 20. We for five rounds, we talked about it.
Yeah.
And at 20, we just said, okay, fine.
And he didn't go. And the good news with Altuve is he didn't go on the 60-day IL today. There's some hope he makes it back before 60 days. We'll see. I don't think it really changes a ton right now, but you got to like it. It's at least absence of bad news.
Oh, look, 100%. Interestingly, you know, we made the mistake of also drafting Harrison Bader, who I really like and should be back in 2 weeks. We're going to play very shorthanded for 2 weeks, which in retrospect, we shouldn't have done.
Yeah, I tend to say one stash and one stash only if you're going to do it in that contest, because there's no IL spots. even in leagues with IL spots, I mean, that's two guys you have to account for. Everybody moves up a little bit there. I'm in mixed labor, which you did the broadcast for. I've got seven pitchers either on the IL or demoted right now already. Cool. I had Verlander in that league. I had Bard in that league. Today was a fun day.
No, not really. But, you know, I will tell you, it really depends on the league format, because we in the FSGA league, which was only a 14-team mixed league, mm-hmm. which makes a huge difference. That's 29 to 30 more players available. That's a lot. Right. We drafted both Buxton and Glasnow. And yes, I get it. They're both probably going to miss time. But the replacement value is so much higher than it is when you're talking about an only league. Even the 30 players between your NFBC 15 typical style and a 14. And that's why we took the risk.
Yeah. You know, and that's the thing. League context always matters. I think that's a fantastic point. I think it one that we don't remember often enough here. I want to talk about a couple more games, a couple more reactions. But before we do that, quick note from our sponsor, Vivid Seats. Baseball is indeed back. Today is opening day. Swing into the MLB season with Vivid Seats and score tickets to all the hottest matchups and biggest games of the year. Every crack of the bat, every deep center fly, and every heart-pounding double play of your favorite team live and in person. Plus, with Vivid Seats, now you earn rewards with every single purchase. Each ticket you buy gets you closer to your reward. Just buy 10 tickets and simply cash in your credit toward your 11th ticket purchase. It's that easy. Pro reward tip. Buy tickets for your whole group, split the bill, and make progress towards your free 11th ticket even faster. From behind the plate to the upper deck, Vivid Seats has great tickets for all the 2023 games that matter to you. Just visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. See VividSeats.com/rewards for terms and conditions. Welcome back to the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Jeff Erickson here with Glenn Colton. You can hear Glenn and Rick on Tuesday nights on SiriusXM Fantasy and Colton and the Wolfman. We're going to have a lot to react to, not just today, but 5 days worth of games by the time you guys are back on air. Excited about that. I want to talk a little St. Louis and Toronto. That was a nutty, wild game.
Oof, crazy.
You know, started off with both Manoa and Michaelis being non-aces. And, seeing them.
Yeah, I mean, I'll jump in here. Again, Michaelis, he's an innings eater. He's not the guy you were, picking in the fourth round or fifth round. But Manoa very much was that guy that would be at worst your SP2. And I don't know. I was down on Manoa this year. I thought all the advanced metrics sort of said he's not going to be the same pitcher he was. I'm not counting him out after one start. But if I had drafted him with concerns, I have now more concerns. I'm much higher on Kevin Gausman in Toronto than I am, on Manoa.
Who drafted him at 514 in our league together and has concerns? This guy.
I did not even realize that. I'm sorry.
That's all good. It's all good. No, I actually was very happy that Manoa made it to us. I think that was as late as he goes, pick 74 overall. I mean, there were a lot of other aces that were already gone at that point in time, but I could have taken Framber Valdez.
He passed on Framber and the guy we took, Lucas Giolito and Lance Lynn, who I both love those guys.
I love both those guys too. But I mean, Giolito, I mean, he's a guy I would definitely been happy to get again. I almost should have taken both of them. That might have been an option too, but regardless, the drop in strikeouts is a little bit of a concern with Manoa. Typically, though, he does well on balls in play. Like, he does well limiting hard contact. I watched that game, and there was some hard contact against him. Obviously, Brendan Donovan's homer is one. There was a lot of soft contact.
He didn't crush that ball, though. No. I wasn't sure that ball was going out.
The hardest hit ball might have been Jordan Walker's single.
Imagine that.
Yeah, he crushed that one. But there were some, squib hits, bloop hits in that game for both teams all throughout the game. There was a lot of BABIP luck going on there. And I wonder, maybe that was shift ball. Maybe that's something we have there, or lack of shift ball.
Yeah. I mean, I think the shift is going to make a huge difference. I think it's going to make a huge difference for the guys that we could have really predicted, the Corey Seegers of the world and the Anthony Rizzos of the world and the Carlos Santanas of the world. But I didn't expect it to have such a huge effect game wide so early. So let's see if that's exactly what it is.
Yeah. I think that's right. And the thing is, it's limitations on shift. It's not an elimination of the shift. I think people have this misconception. All you have to do is watch a Rays game, and you can realize that's not true. They had their second baseman standing 1 foot to the left of second base and then moved after the pitch was thrown right up the middle, ground ball right up the middle, right to him, right into the adjusted shift, if you will.
Right.
It's not completely gone.
Wait till the left fielder goes over and plays between the second baseman and the first baseman.
Yeah,
and
you'll see that on occasion, for sure. Especially on teams like the Rays, who have like all these fly catchers. The Arizona Diamondbacks are a prime candidate for that. They've got three guys in their outfield that can just cover the earth. And so I wouldn't be surprised to see that every once in a while, too, from them.
No, I agree. And to me, I think there's no excuse. If there is no left fielder, you got to find some way to put the ball to left field.
Yeah, for sure. 100%. In that Cardinals Blue Jays game, we saw our first official blown save of the year. I don't count eighth inning blown leads as blown saves, but unless it's the closer coming in to try to get four outs or something. But Helsley blew the save, walked the first batter, gave up a single to Kiermaier, gave up a bloop hit to tie, and then a sac fly later for the go ahead run. When we last saw Helsley, he had health issues in the playoffs last year, too. Blew that lead against the Phillies, if you recall.
I do, and I was not in on Helsley this year at all, mostly because I also heard that he wasn't going to pitch 2 days in a row,
right?
Which is a big concern. But then you know who else got hurt that we didn't talk about? Giovanni Gallegos.
Yeah.
So now the number two guy's hurt. Hicks did not look like a guy you won the ninth inning at all. Besides taking out your starting catcher, let's leave that aside. So there's going to be some interesting speculative bidding going on. Not for the big money that we're talking about with the David Robertsons of the world, but I could see, finding a whole bunch of names in that bullpen, throw down a dollar or two and see what you get.
Yeah. And Gallegos was unavailable due to a back issue. That's why he didn't pitch in this game.
For good.
No. And the funny thing is, like, he always rated pretty decently in my projections just because, his last few years have been good. And we're talking about Giovanni Gallegos. And yet I didn't end up with him too much. I have a little bit of distrust about the Cardinals and Marmol and how he handles things. He doesn't tend to announce who the closer is at any given time. And yeah, he might end up with 10 saves over the course of the season, but is Gallegos going to be active on your roster for all 10 of those saves? It's
NL only, yes.
Yeah, NL only, yes. Mixed league, no, probably not.
Well, let's go Chris Stratton. He was the guy who might get some saves in Pittsburgh last year, and maybe you'll see him.
He's no good, though. Oh, man.
But does it matter? Somebody's got to close.
That's a good point. That is a good point. Get the saves, as Gene McCaffrey used to like to say all the time. That's definitely an issue there. So the other closer situation that we had positive resolution on, if you got the early guy drafted, is the Minnesota Twins, Jhoan Duran. Got the save. Not only did he get the save, but they brought in Jorge Lopez to pitch to get the last two outs of the seventh inning.
Yes.
You like seeing that.
If you are a Duran guy, you absolutely like seeing that. And in between, they went to Griffin Jax, which I thought was very interesting. So I don't think Jax is a big risk to steal a lot of the saves there. But that could be a guy who vultures 7 or 8 wins. And in an AL only or even in a 15-team mixer where you have starts you don't really want to run out there in a particular week, that's valuable.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. It's true. Point on Twitter from Jason Wanick, who I play in the main event league with in Vegas. He says, it's not fantasy football. Let's relax on one game. Yeah. I agree.
100%.
Especially on starting pitchers. But closers, especially who gets the chance, I think that's different than saying, I think that's something you have to read on right now.
Oh, look, I completely agree with that. And there, I didn't watch that Minnesota game, and there might have been a situation where, Lopez matched up better in the seventh inning. And I don't know the game situation.
Yep.
Duran has the better stuff. And here's the read I have on this. Jax has really filthy stuff too. And if they're willing to use Jax as your fireman, then Duran is the closer.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. So I like seeing that. Jax is, the Twins have a really good bullpen. Theobar is a good pitcher too. They've got lefty, like five good guys.
Who's the young lefty? It's escaping me now. I'm going to look it up, but I think you know who I'm talking about, who had a really good year under the radar.
Yeah, starts with an A, right?
Giovanni Moran. And they have Jorge Alcala, who was a big name last year.
Yeah, so this is – it's a better rotation than they have in a while, too. I mean, we haven't even talked about Pablo Lopez, who was really strong today, 5 1/3 against the Royals.
Yeah. Two hits.
I like the top of that Royals lineup. We won't talk about the bottom half of it so much.
Fair. But,
they had a weird inning-ending double play with Melendez on at the plate there that, you know, got Lopez out of a tight jam. So that was pretty handy. But, yeah, the Twins, I mean, their pitching is actually pretty good. I mean, so good that Bailey Ober couldn't make the team. And that kind of – and he had a great spring, and somehow he couldn't make the team. Alcala is the other guy I was thinking of, by the way.
Yes.
They
have a very good bullpen. I'm a little concerned about the defense.
Sure.
You know, Joey Gallo at first base, you know.
Yep. Fair. I think tough, but fair. But, yeah, I agree. Better than Joey Gallo in center field. You know, we've seen him play there before. Kirilloff's hurt, though, right now. Polanco's hurt right now. They've got some guys out of position, too.
Yeah, but Kirilloff has been hurt for a year and a half. How much can you really count on that? I'm rooting for him, but how much can you count on it?
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. But pretty good news if you have that. One other reaction thing. You know, we get some sneaky surprises. You're talking about the Texas Rangers and Bubba Thompson not starting. Cleveland brought us another one, too. Oscar Gonzalez is not in the starting lineup today in opening day. Instead, it's Will Brennan.
I love Will Brennan, our 30th round pick in the NFBC that we talked about, but I didn't start him because it didn't look like he was going to be in the lineup. I got to tell you, there's a player in Oscar Gonzalez we have none of. He had, I think, the worst chase rate in baseball in the second half last year.
Yeah.
And yeah, he hit the great big home run in the playoffs, which was awesome and fun to watch. But
has that great batting average last year. But
Brennan can play.
Yeah. Got him for a minimum unit in my AL home league. And nice. Someone goes, who the F is Will Brennan?
He was a Supreme Court justice back in the 60s.
Exactly. I like that. Spoken like a true lawyer.
We got two of them here. So.
Yes, that's true. I'm a recovering attorney. That's the difference.
You're smarter than me.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I'm just luckier than you are.
Fair enough.
That goes. Excuse me.
But. Yeah, I will tell you, the other thing I thought was interesting, you know, about the Twins situation is they did DH Byron Buxton and played Michael A. Taylor in center field. And I got to tell you, I think you're going to see a lot of that.
You are. They've said as much. Yeah, absolutely. And I like that if you have Buxton, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I have a bunch of Buxton, you know, shares in best ball on the theory that, you know, in best ball, if he doesn't play, the computer will play somebody else for me. I don't have to figure it out. But we drafted him in the FSGA league, again, in a shallow league. But if he's DHing and instead of getting 350 plate appearances, he gets 500 plate appearances. I mean, he had 28 home runs and under 400 plate appearances last year.
Yeah, and he's going way cheaper this year. I got him at pick 99 in one of my main events. I'm not a Buxton guy at all, but I was like, okay, I guess I can do this here.
Oh, 100%.
Now, I don't think he's going to run. That's the one thing I don't like.
So I think that's right. But it wouldn't shock me to see 5.
Yeah.
You know, 4 or 5. And to me, there's a huge difference between 5 and 0. No, because your catchers get you nothing. So most of the time. So you have 2 catchers that get you nothing. And then 2 position players get you nothing. You got a problem. But if you have some 5s and some 7s, I think it's okay. You can live with that. Especially if they hit 35 home runs.
Indeed. Let's take a look at your teams. Together here. Let's start off with Tout Wars. We did that first a couple weekends ago in New York. That was a super fun trip. You guys did your usual thing where you spent pretty big on a couple of hitters and then kind of kept your powder dry after getting a bunch of big name players off the top. I mean, that's my reaction. You got Gerrit Cole. I should say not just hitters, but you got Gerrit Cole. You got Bobby Witt. You got Mike Trout. I feel that's kind of like your play is like you guys do that and then you wait for a while.
So it's interesting. We do that, but we had the hammer at various points during the course of this draft.
Yeah.
Interestingly, I called up the Tout Wars draft and I'm looking at the 2022 draft. So that's a problem. I will try to fix that. But, you know, what we did is we said for the pitching, we had a budget of 200 on the hitting and 60 on the pitching. Mm-hmm. And we were confident that we could fill a pitching staff very, very well at those numbers because we weren't going to buy one of the three big closers. And that was just the end of it.
Okay.
We weren't going to spend 20 something dollars on Class A or Presley. Not that there's anything wrong with it. I totally understand it, but it was very liberating. So we decided, all right, we're not letting anybody have Gerrit Cole for less than $35. So, but we wouldn't have gone to 36 and the bidding stopped. And I was actually surprised the bidding stopped. The plan was really to be, you know, get a couple of guys like Giolito or Kirby or Lynn, you know, but Gerrit Cole is clearly the class of the American League in my mind. And so it looks like we were spending bigger because we spent a one guy instead of two, but we didn't really spend like to the point where we were sitting out during the draft.
Right.
You know what I mean?
No, and I know exactly what you mean. And especially because so I bought a lot of players early. A lot of players.
You did. Right? Well, you were jump bidding the whole time.
I was, but that's obviously I do that anyhow. I'm a jump bidder. I try it, and it's an AL auction, AL only auction. We have a $260 budget. I always, you know, I like to speed things up a little bit, make people make quicker decisions. I know who I think is worth a certain amount of money. So let's just get it up there. You know, not go 1, 2, 3, you know, all the way. Let's get to 17 and then we'll start talking.
I'm totally with you. And the thing that happened with us on the pitching side is we got all these bargains. I mean, Severino finally got hurt afterwards, right? But at 13, I thought that was a steal. And Patrick Sandoval at 8, you know, and then, you know, McCullers at 3. 2 months, it's a huge bargain. 1 month, it might be a bargain with unlimited IL. And then, you know, Jose Suarez, who I really like it too. So, and I thought that worked out very well.
Starting pitching was devalued in this a lot.
100%.
More so than I anticipated. I even thought it would be, but I didn't think it way more than I even thought it would be. And shame on me for not predicting that. Because Doug Dennis won the league last year, kind of going away without rostering a single starting pitcher. He punted wins and strikeouts. And I've always said, okay, I'll let people run that strategy. Because guess what? It's two categories they're giving up. That means they have to be perfect almost. They have to thread the needle to win.
He was.
Guess what? He was perfect. He won every hitting category, and not by a small amount. He won like a massive lead in some of these categories. And he won ERA, he won saves, and he was 11th. You know, he had 11 points in whip. So he got, you know, he essentially got the max minus 1 point with punting those two categories.
Right.
Really remarkable effort.
It was. And Mike Gianella tried that the year before. And
finished third, I think. And so that was like kind of our warning shot that this was going to be tried again.
Yeah, but I still think it's a low odds proposition. All the credit in the world to Doug. He executed it brilliantly. Flags fly forever. Good for him. But I think your odds of winning that way are lesser. But what happened to Doug is the middle of the road closer / eighth inning guys went far more expensive. And that is why I think the starters were more inexpensive than we thought. Mm-hmm. And also the entire end game was more inexpensive than I thought.
Yeah, I'd agree.
In the end game, you know, Rick is very, very upset, right? Because we had $11 left for one player. And of course you bid the whole thing in this context, because if that player gets hurt, you get more fab back.
Right.
As opposed to a keeper league where you want to bid the minimum, because you're going to reduce your contract base. So we spent $11 on Edward Olivares, and he's bemoaning that. And I said, but you can't look at it that way, because we wanted Veerling and Eaton and Olivares for like 15, and we got that. The other guys just went really cheap.
Yeah.
Because nobody was bidding. And I couldn't understand it, because you talk about the late speed being like really something that you should be valuing. And then we got these guys, Veerling at 1, you know, and Eaton, I think, was 3. I just couldn't believe those prices.
Right. I agree. I think I had filled up some of those spots when those guys went too. So that was a little bit of a, you know, shame on me again for not anticipating. I tried to like be cognizant of, like, I know Doug's going to do the same thing again, and there's going to be some people that are going to try to out Doug. If you notice, you guys spent $60 on pitching. Andy Andras spent like $42. On pitching. I mean,
he spent more on catching than pitching.
I know, it's crazy.
I've never seen that.
Yeah. And So I don't think Doug's going to dominate the hitting categories like he did last year. He's not going to get a $31 Aaron Judge, first of all, or a $3 Jeremy Pena. Maybe he will. Maybe one of those guys will have the same windfall, but that goes a long way, too.
He's got no one on his team that's hitting 62 home runs. I'm going to predict that now.
Going on that thin limb. I like that.
Yeah, two home runs per dollar now.
Yeah. But I got to say, his performance last year hung over me the whole time. I'm thinking, okay, what's he going to do? How can I prevent that? Just because I feel like it's a strategy that when pulled off successfully, it's hard to counter unless other people do the same thing.
Yeah, this is a fascinating discussion for me because I don't actually look at what anyone else is doing during the course of the auction. I mean, Rick,
I usually don't,
but I like Doug's going to do his thing and I'm going to do my thing and hopefully my thing is better. But I hear you that, you know, you watch a team get built and you realize, oh, he's doing it again. Now what?
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, I think it requires some pre-planning and are you going to do something about it or not? Because the thing is, it's kind of a mutually assured destruction if you try to like counter Doug and do the same thing as him. You know, it used to happen the same thing with like Ron Chandler. He went 3 years running with the Lima plan. So all of a sudden people are trying to out Lima the Lima master. And sure, it stopped Ron, but it also stopped themselves too. And like, are you willing to do that just to prevent someone else from winning? Or are you going to try to win?
So it's interesting that you say that. Back in 2014, and you guys joined in after a while, we just decided that, you know, Larry Schechter, who's a terrific player, but it was so rigid. Like if he's got a guy in a sheet for 19, he absolutely will not say 20.
Yeah.
And Larry always calls out the guys he wants. He nominates the guys he wants. It's sort of like Charles Emerson Winchester, you know, whistling louder when he has nothing in poker. But, you know, that year we just said Larry plus one, you know, Victor Martinez, 19, 20.
Yeah. You know, the type of player Larry likes though, too. It's always the boring veteran, the guy that is, he is never the flashy guy and he's going to find his $3 bargain here, his $4 bargain there and beat you that way.
Like, no, it's true. But, you know, we
wrote a book about it. So screw that. We're not going to let him. You're not going to let him do his thing.
You know, you write about everything you think and do. We talk about it for 2 hours a week.
I know.
We
have and I don't begrudge system. Him. I just don't like getting beat. That's all.
I'm with you. But, you know, we have Stanton just because we decided like Larry really wants Stanton and we're going to bid again. Hopefully that works out.
Yeah. But yeah, by the way. Great to see Larry because he's had some health issues. Yes, it was great fabulous. To see him in New York. It was excellent to see him. So it was very cool about that. It is interesting. Like, how much do you let your opponents get to you on that a little bit? Typically, I never look to see what everybody else is doing in auction. And I definitely didn't do it in the online. In person, it's a little different. Sometimes you're like, oh, look at that. Oh, look at that. You know, there's boards right in front of you.
There's also some smack talk in person. I mean, let's call it what it is.
Of course. Of course there is. And that's the beauty. I mean, AL Town is almost like a home league for us. And that's 100%. The way it should be.
So I was interested in some of the things that you decided to do. You went to closers in Kenley Jansen and Felix Bautista, 19 each. Was one of them an enforcement or was that the plan?
It was an enforcement entirely.
Okay. You feel better now.
I had no desire to have Kenley Jansen. But so be it. I mean, he'll get the saves unless he's just absolutely terrible. I'll say this. I've won one of the years I won tout when I had two closers, and that worked out pretty well at reasonable prices. I thought that those guys' prices were reasonable compared to a couple of the other elite, because I got Bautista and Jansen. I think I might have got Bautista second, but there was a little bit of price enforcement there. A little bit of in the case of Bautista, I would not have done it a week earlier when he was still sidelined with the shoulder stuff. The fact that he was throwing 98, I was kind of like, okay, I'm back in.
Yeah, you got an ugly save today, so.
Yeah, very ugly.
Yeah,
very ugly.
But so the other thing I thought was fascinating about Towers is the absurd, you know, prices, you know, for the catchers. And yes, I'm aging myself with the MASH reference.
Yes, thanks, Brunch, on that one there. I got the reference, though, so I aged myself by knowing it, too.
Yeah, but you know what? It's still a classic. It's still on every single day.
It holds up.
I watched it largely in reruns, largely.
Yeah.
But, you know, I thought, like, I know at Andy Andres, you know, drafting two of the major catchers for huge money. But then what happened in the room is everybody nominated catchers. And they went, I thought, for far more than I expected. Mm-hmm. And I was perfectly happy to sit it out.
You never spend on catching, though, either.
And not since Jorge Posada went past his prime.
Yeah.
Well, though I did take a catcher in the fifth round in the main, but we'll get to that.
Yeah, we will. I did get two catchers. I got Melendez and Vasquez because I wanted to get the playing time. My goal in this draft was to get every spot to have regular playing time. We'll see if it works out.
But Melendez is different. Like Melendez is going to play outfield DH. You know, I think that's a different kind of play than gambling on Adley Rutschman, you know, not getting beat up as great as he was today.
Oh, my goodness. You know. We didn't even mention that. Adley Rutschman, 6 on-base appearances today. 5 for 5, a walk, a homer. What a day.
Yeah. I mean, but it is tough to stay fresh as a catcher. Whereas if you're a guy like Melendez, who's – what, probably going to catch a third of the games? Mm-hmm. It's a totally different animal.
It is.
I thought that was a very good pick by you.
Thank you. Thank you. I liked it. I liked it a lot. Quickly, let's bring up our main event because we've been running a little while here, but we drafted in the NFBC main event together on Monday, and
it was fun.
It was fun. You were drafting third. We were drafting 14th, far away from each other. You're with Al Williams in this draft. I've got my buddy.
And Rick Wolf, of course.
Although I did this one, like Tim jumped in every once in a while, but I did this draft kind of solo, but we're going to run it together. You go Aaron Judge, Rafael Devers, Randy Arozarena, hitter to start, Ryan Pressly, Will Smith. You didn't take your first starter until Lucas Giolito with the 6th round. Was that the plan all along, or is that a reaction to the room?
It was in part a reaction to the room. I mean, we typically would go starter in the 4-5 turn. Mm-hmm. And we gave some serious thought to going Darvish instead of Pressly at the 4, but we didn't think Pressly would be back. And I don't really trust Ryan Helsley, as we talked about. So that was really the last closer. And I thought we could replace Darvish much easier than we could replace Pressly. And, you know, Bautista's there too, but again, the shoulder had me worried a little bit. But the guys that we really like, you know, Castillo, Gausman, and you know, Wendt, and then Darvish we would have taken on the way back, but he got taken. So we went with Will Smith. And that was more of a, wow, we really didn't think Darvish would go in the 4th round type of thing. And sure, we definitely would have taken Darvish there.
Well, maybe I think it's interesting because I think starting pitching didn't get pushed up as badly in this draft as I've seen in other main event drafts. Mm-hmm. Like for instance, the 2nd round, we saw only 4 starters go. Sorry about that.
Yeah, I agree with you. I thought it wasn't pushed up, but then, you know, I just couldn't pass on Rafael Devers at the end of the 2nd round.
I agree. I mean, I agree.
I just couldn't do it. And then we have two guys who don't run, so more than a starter in the 3rd round, needed a guy who was going to put up 20-plus stolen bases.
Yeah, for sure. So looking at your team, let's go down later on. You got Christian Walker, Xander Bogaerts. You talked about getting a pretty good price on him. Carlos Correa, another guy that doesn't run. Bryson Stott, you're kind of counting on him to, you know, kind of jump up in the stolen bases, and then Grisham and Bader. Do you feel like you have enough speed in this lot?
I'm very worried about the speed, as you could tell. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think Bader was, you know, we talked about this. As an injured player, I probably don't go with him, but that's why we later drafted Bubba Thompson and Will Brennan, you know, on the theory that you've got two guys who could play every day and steal a lot of bases. But I think we'll be chasing steals a little bit. We just, when you go Devers Judge, that's what happens. We had a big debate, you know, do we go Judge or do we go Julio or do we go Jose Ramirez? And the only reason in my mind to not take Judge is the stolen bases. And we just,
I had to take in Judge too. Julio is the call for me. I take them both over J-Ram.
I agree.
And, you know, Judge isn't a complete zero there. Now, I don't think he runs as much as he did last year. Last year was a contract year. I think he probably doesn't hit for the same high average, but regress to what Scott Pianowski always says. And even like 80th percentile of what he did last year is still like top 3 player.
So I'll actually disagree with you. I think that if the rules didn't change, he would have gone from 16 to 10. But I think given the rule change, the 10 that he would have been is going to be back to 15 or 16. Because this is not a guy who's stealing bases on pure speed, right? This is a guy who can read the pitchers, who runs intelligently. And now there's all these more opportunities to
figure out
spots to run. So guys like him and Anthony Rizzo, you know, who's always stealing some bases.
Right.
Those are guys who's
sneaky guys. Yeah.
Right. But those guys are the ones whose stolen bases are going up. You know, do I think a Arozarena's 25 might go to, you know, 28 or 30? That's a 20% increase. You know, Judge's 10 goes to 15. That's a 50% increase.
Right. So it's interesting because I also started with two non-stolen base guys. I went Vlad Guerrero and Manny Machado.
Machado gave you some.
Right. Some.
More than Devers.
Yeah, true. True that. Devers is even slow to get into the batter's box, apparently. But
so I've heard.
Yeah. So I had to address it later on, and I went Tim Anderson, Jake McCarthy back-to-back on that. Gleyber Torres always is good for 10, and he might be worth 15 now, too. So I was trying to be cognizant of that later in the draft a little bit. I still wonder if I have enough speed. That's always like, I always wonder, do I get an, you know, that's like the one thing I feel like I have as a weakness as a drafter. Sometimes I don't pay enough attention to stolen bases.
So it's interesting that you say that, because for us, it was, we absolutely consciously tried to avoid to over X, you know, emphasize it. So if you look at the eighth round, we took Xander Bogaerts passing on Stephen Kwan, thinking, how do you pass on a guy who's guaranteed to 300 and then, you know, give you so much more flexibility later in the draft because you've got that. And then Kwan went, you know what I mean? And there were a number of times where things like that happened. And, you know, we passed on Jonathan India to take Carlos Correa, but I think Carlos Correa is so much a better player.
I know. You know? It's at some point though, you have to like, oh, okay, I guess I'll go that route there. You know, I got Lane Thomas cause he's not a great player, but he will run 10. He bats leadoff and gets 10 to 15 stolen bases. That's a choice I made, you know, in concession to that. Nate Eaton in the penultimate round is like, okay, I don't know if I'll play him enough to get all those stolen bases. That's the problem with the players like that is you actually have to play them to get the benefit of their speed.
Yeah. I mean, you have to look and, you know, in a couple of weeks we'll know, are these guys platooning? What's the cadence? And in this format where you can change the line, you know, the hitters on Friday for the weekend, you can play with the matchups and figure out even a guy who's only facing lefties, they face two lefties. Okay, it's his speed is now worth it, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
But you know, we did the Altuve thing, which we should talk about, right? A little bit more, because let's say he comes back, whatever, June 15th, I'll just make up a date, right? Is he not going to run because of the thumb? I'm not sure that's true. Like, if he's going to run, he's going to run.
So I this is something I needed. I probably should have done already, but I haven't because I didn't end up with Altuve anywhere. But I needed to dig in to see how does he slide? Does he slide feet first? Does he slide head first?
So I don't know the answer to that, but I can't imagine Jose Altuve can't learn to do that.
No, I understand. But, you know, at times it's instinctual, right? You know, it's like what you've been doing for all your career. It's not like he's, I guess you practice it and all that. But when you're under pressure, how do you react on all that?
Yeah, now, there's been years where slide with the other hand too.
That's true. There have been years where he hasn't been a stolen base guy lately though. Last year he did run, but the two previous years, not so much.
You're right about that, but I'm thinking this is a situation where with the different rules, the bigger bases, the time clock, you know, I'm not really counting on him per se, but I do think Stott will run some and Grisham will run some and Bader will run some. And, you know, you get some for Altuve, who is like, for us, if we can hold on long enough, a huge fab pickup. It's like a $400 fab pickup if you can hold on long enough.
Well, yeah. And you have to now. You're locked and loaded.
I think that's right. Unless, you know, you just get a bunch of injuries where you have no choice, you know, but you hope not.
But then you're probably dropping the other injured guys because.
Yeah, I mean, probably depending on the length and whatever, I agree with you. But, you know, look, there are always guys who come up and run.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to be picking up the Will Brennans of the world, those type of guys, as opposed to chasing the Estuary Ruiz is if he were to come up and go for 300, like we can't chase that. So it's going to have to be more, you know, sort of units.
Right. For
but
sure.
If I had to do it again, I would definitely pay a little more attention to speed. That's the one thing that kind of really bothers me with the team. However, as we talked about, Will Brennan is in the lineup on opening day by surprise. If he's going to play, he's a guy who could easily steal 25 bases.
Exactly. Quickly, let's look at your pitching. We mentioned Giolito and Lynn, Charlie Morton, Patrick Sandoval. I love Patrick Sandoval.
Got him everywhere.
The only thing I don't like is that the Angels go with that dreaded six-man rotation. You lose out on like four starts, but you know, you never get that two-start week. That's the one thing that's kind of annoying.
Yeah, well, they're talking about not doing that, but you know, in round 12, the end of round 12, if Patrick Sandoval throws 150 good innings, thank you, I'll take it.
For sure. And Griffin Canning went on the IL today too, so that's one less six starter
there.
And
I have him everywhere, but what are you going to do?
Yeah, exactly. Eduardo Rodriguez, you got him pretty late. Kyle Gibson, opening day starter.
He got a W today.
I like a little Mackenzie Gore. I like that pick too. Some good late side upside guys. And you got a lot of relievers too. You got Presley. You got Kimbrel. You got Alex Lang if he closes. I know he's the leader to close in that team. If he doesn't walk too many guys, that's the one thing I worry about a little ever so slight. But even like, you have dart throws at Will Smith and Denelson Lamet too. You have lots of possible save opportunities here.
We had to draft Will Smith because we have catcher Will Smith. Mm-hmm. So it was just a necessity to go, you know, Fresh Prince Square.
Sure. Of course. Of course. Hopefully you won't be standing around looking around where everybody went, but you know, all
that. Well done. Yeah. Thank you. Haven't aged ourselves enough in this podcast.
Yeah. Jordan Alvarez just homered. I'm good trying to see him. Who against Reynaldo Lopez, who gets the ninth for the White Sox today. It's 3-2 now in that game. I don't know who was responsible for the White Sox getting their runs or who they got them off of. I know it was 1-1 really late in that game there. So
who was the opening day starter? I'm trying to remember.
It was Dylan Cease, and he looked awesome.
Okay. Very nice.
Yeah. Dylan Cease looked really well, really good. His velocity was back up. After being down a little bit in spring training. So eased a lot of people's concerns there. Framber had to battle on that one, but I think it was 0-0 after like seven innings in that game. So
I'm very worried about Framber, I have to say. Not that he's going to be a bomb, because he's not. He's an excellent pitcher. But such a high ground ball rate without the shift, I think you're going to see some regression there.
Probably so.
Based on the price has always been high.
Plus, a lot of workload, a lot of playoff workload. That never gets factored in when you're looking at innings accumulated there. So I like your squad. I think it's a good team. Thank you. I hope you finish second.
Well, you know what? Second in the overall, I'll take it.
Yeah, well, let's go 1-2. Let's take it home. We'll be like those two guys last year, Cramutola. And, you know, Cramutola won the overall and didn't win his league. You may have heard like 7,000 times. But
yes, I think that's absolutely amazing. Yeah. It's absolutely amazing. But you know what I thought? I mean, I'm taking a look at your team quickly. And I think, you know, we jumped and got Will Smith in round 5. And then I look and see you with Sean Murphy at the end of round 9. And I'm like,
yeah, I thought the first half of this draft, there were so many things that went right. The second half of the draft was a little choppy for me. So we got Shane Bieber, Jordan Romano, 3-4 after starting Guerrero and Machado. Manoah in the 5th, and it wasn't a good day today, but I thought that was pretty good price. Tim Anderson, the 6th. I love that. And then the one that I thought was interesting is I got Scott Barlow at 11-14. And I know Aroldis Chapman exists. I'm not really that worried about him because I don't think he's good.
Interesting. I'm not sure.
He's going like in the 9th round everywhere else that I've seen. So I thought that was kind of a coup to get a second closer that late. And still be a pitcher. Barlow's, I think Barlow on his merits is a very good pitcher.
No doubt about that. I agree with you.
I don't think I got punished for waiting on pitching as much as I could have been punished, as other main events have punished. I thought the starting pitching prices were more reasonable in our draft than my other two main events.
So I agree with that. But what I was puzzled by, and I have to ask you this question.
Okay.
You have Scott Barlow, and Aroldis Chapman is falling and falling and falling. And we talked about drafting him like for 5 rounds, and we didn't do it. But you take Zach Greinke in round 28. Were you at all tempted to take Aroldis Chapman at that point?
I was. And as soon as that happened, I'm like, that's the play I should have done. 100% mistake on my part. Okay. Because on Wednesday night, I got Barlow, and I did get Chapman.
Good for you.
So yeah, because those are the only two games in town, right? It's either or. There's really, you know, like Clark, I guess, could be part
Dylan
of the picture
Coleman,
there.
I'm not
really worried about too many other options in that Royals bullpen. We have a brand new manager. We don't have Mike Matheny anymore, so true. There is that. I kind of think that I think it's gonna be one of the two. I think it's gonna be Barlow. I really do.
So I'm cynical and think that they got Chapman to have him close for 3 months, look good, and
for sure. I could see that happening.
You know, but if that happens, the problem in this format is you may not have Barlow by the time he gets the job back.
Oh, I'll hold on to him. I'm stubborn. Okay. Like a mule there. Because Chapman, if he gets the job, is going to lose it. He's terrible.
You know, he was very good for a long time. And he was even decent at it's small portions last year. And I think it was mental, not physical. So if he's in the middle of nowhere, and no offense, Kansas City, but compared to New York City, it is, you know, in terms of the media, if he just can settle down and do his job, I think he could still do the job, because this is a guy who gets criticized for throwing 99.
Yeah, but he was throwing 98, 95 at some points last year too, and missing.
Yes.
And he walked away from the team.
That was gross.
And he's a bad human being. But
look, that killed the team, you know, because of the other injuries they had. They lost Chad Green. They lost Michael King. Like, that was bad. They really needed him.
Really bad.
I mean, they were just out of gas in the bullpen.
For sure. So, yes, it was a mistake that I didn't handcuff Barlow with him.
I just feel better because we made the mistake of not drafting him for like 3 rounds and felt bad about it.
Yeah, it was definitely a mistake, and I'm a little short there, for sure, 100%.
We did the same thing with Dominguez, by the way. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Sorry about that, but we really should have taken Dominguez once we had Kimbrough.
Yeah, because it's obviously not going to be Gregory Soto, who I think was up in the fourth today.
Yeah.
So so funny. They made that trade. I was like, why? Why would you do that?
I didn't get that. I mean, maybe it was just to have a second lefty so that they can do whatever they want with Alvarado. I kind of thought that's the only thing that makes sense to me.
For sure. For sure. So all in all, I thought it was a fun draft, fun team. We'll see how it plays out. But I'm just happy we have a regular season that starts on time.
Oh, yes.
A full schedule. No funny business with the owners, with the lockout. No shortened season. Knock on all the wood in the world.
We'll have some rule changes during the course of the year, though.
Yeah. Yeah. And we still have to worry about shenanigans with the ball. But
But I'm lobbying for get rid of all of these time clock rules in the ninth inning. 2 minutes left in the NFL and the NBA. It's all different rules. Ninth inning, we don't need this. It's okay to slow down the ninth inning.
I tend to agree with you on that one there. I don't think it's such an amazing thing that a game's over in 2 hours and 15 minutes. I want more. I mean, lack of activity, I understand that, but I don't really care about journalists getting home an extra 45 minutes early.
But not in the ninth inning in a game that's 4 runs or less.
Right.
You know, or 3, you know. And to me, I don't want a game ending on this rules.
And it will happen.
It happens in the NFL, right? Game ends in the 10-second runoff. I can't stand that. It should not happen. There should be one free play.
I'm with you on that one, too. But, I mean, I will say there is less dead time in the game, and that's probably good.
It is.
I wonder 100%. If we'll see more pitcher injuries, just less recovery time between pitches.
I think the teams should have been preparing for this.
I think they were. Yeah. And players were for the most part too, but you never know.
You know, I listened to Cody Decker a lot on Sirius XM that you and I both broadcast on. And, you know, he played in the minor leagues, obviously, before the major leagues. And he makes the point over and over and over again. The younger players, they played in the minor leagues with these rules.
Right. That's right.
It's just the older players.
Kenley Jansen just comes to mind as the guy that's going to have trouble.
I was just thinking that.
Yep. Exactly.
So I don't think it's going to have as big effect as people fear. And the team should know, okay, if you're going to go 95 pitches, go 87, go 85, you know, ease up on them a little bit, because the workload is a little higher. And it's not a big secret that the 30 pitch inning is harder than the 20 pitch inning. So it's sort of the same concept, right? It's the
We saw that with Hunter Green today with the Reds. Had a 30 pitch third inning, couldn't get out of the fourth. And by the way, that's a feature, not a bug with him. That happens all the time anyhow.
Well, but you got to protect the kid. 100%, and maybe you just say, 100%. You know what, I'm not even going to send you back out there.
They had a quick hook for a reason today, and I thought it was the right call. So but get used to that with some of these other young aces. I think that will happen a few times here and there too.
Yeah, look, I thought they were going to pull Cole early. I thought they were going to pull him after 5 today.
Yeah, he was cruising. Yeah, it's probably because he was,
but it's cold. There's a lot of, there's a lot of pitches. I mean, what did he throw, like 80 pitches in 5 innings?
Apparently, they sang the national anthem at an appropriate enough pace for him today. So there was that. So we got that going.
He is quirky.
Yes, indeed. All right, we'll end on that note there, Glenn. Excellent. Awesome stuff. We had so much fun. We went a little long there. I appreciate your time on that and all your insights. It was really fun just talking baseball with you.
Anytime. You have my number. I'd love to do it again.
All right, very good. Glenn Colton, everybody, catch him on Tuesday nights on SiriusXM Fantasy with Colton and the Wolfman. Catch it, his work on Fantasy Alarm as well. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We've got a full slate of podcasts every single day here on RotoWire. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.